Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening. This is a live podcast recording. This is the first in-person live podcast recording. This is with previous guest, Stephen Etienne Langlois. And we are live at the CCFLT Spring Conference 2022 in Aurora, Colorado. And we're going to go ahead and get started. I had Stephen on the podcast before, so I'm not going to read over his bio. But this is a continued conversation of the keynote that he had this morning. And he expands more on the idea of how to really rock your class and keep the game of engagement going on and on. So we're going to jump into the questions today. We're not doing the regular tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and managed to pull out. You can refer to his episode from last May for that. But we're going to focus on activities that are instructional strategies for classroom management and student engagement. So the elephant in the room, because we're back in person after, we haven't had our in-person conference for 2 years, and a lot of us taught online last year. So I'm going to just start out with, what was the biggest gap of starting this past school year for you? And also, as we go into next school year, 2022-23, after 2 years of COVID.
Right. That's a great question. Well, first of all, congratulations on this being 145th podcast episode. That is awesome. That is, anybody who knows the podcast world, if you can get over 100, that's amazing. So that means people like you. So good job. That's awesome. Yeah, we talked about that at the keynote. Like, what are the gaps? And I voted for reading. Okay, I voted for reading, but I think when you consider everything, so reading, writing, speaking, listening, but not just that, we talked about enrollment. So as we're language teachers, so enrollment has indeed been affected by COVID, because what has happened a lot, I don't know if it's the same in your school districts for everybody here, but for ours, what's happened is what happened during the last 2 years with COVID is some students earned their credits, some didn't earn their credits for one reason or another, unable to make online stuff work or whatever it happens to be. So now administration or guidance or those in charge of course selections are now going, oh, wait, no, you can't take this Spanish class actually this year because you need to now go and get that history credit that you were unable to get. And then that, so me throwing out enrollment as one of the gaps is actually not a joke. It's actually a reality. And we talked about resources, support, and things like that. But I'm always going to fall back to reading first. And I'll say reading because I see it in the classroom myself. I see it online because we still do online. Our school district has virtual SS, a virtual secondary school. And we have hundreds of students that opted for virtual. And we had teachers who opted to work just with those students. And we have a lot of students with reading gaps. But not just that. It's talking to my friends. I don't know, you out there, does anybody know or have a child that's between the grades of 1 and 3 or know somebody who has a child between the ages? Okay. Those are really important reading years, are they not? Mm-hmm. So can you imagine missing those 2 years? What kind of gap does that create? It can be very problematic going forward. So I choose reading for me. I don't know. How about you guys? Well, what's some of yours, the gaps that you find now that we're approaching normalcy again? Do you find reading big or? Yeah, reading. Yeah. Okay. Vocabulary based. That's really good. That is perfect. Okay, so if you didn't hear that, so it was brought up that it was so vocab, even grammar, but so we're having to make sure. So if we talk about it as language teachers, we like to lead them down the road to proficiency. So, and there's road markers along the way that we set up in different ways. It depends on how you teach. But nonetheless, you're right. We are finding students who are a few road markers back from where we would have hoped they would be now that they're in, say, Spanish 3, or, you know, where you have them right now. So that's really strong. That's a good point.
So I wanted to ask you, Stephen, you have a lot of these readers, and you can show them to the audience as we're talking about them. So what gave you the idea to make these interactive comprehensive readers before you've made a lot of music? We talked about that on our previous podcast episode, music in French and Spanish, and then also for math. And I think this is something you started over the last year or so. So Talk a little bit about, just the gaps maybe from your experience where you've taught and how those interactive readers can help teachers.
No, it's a good question. So because I believe resolutely that the reading was a really big issue, and there's research to show that a lot of learning can come from a foundation of reading. So if you make reading kind of a bed, you can actually then springboard into speaking and listening. And so I wanted to do something a little bit different. And I just thought back to my days when I was a student. I didn't like reading. You couldn't get me to read. In fact, I had a teacher between grade 5 and 6, I think, told my parents that if I didn't start reading, that I could be in big trouble academically as years go on. And so my parents were like, well, what can we do to help? And they were like, I think you're literally going to have to give him money for every book he reads over the summer. And so that's what they did. My parents like paid me to read books, $20 a book back in the day. And that actually got me reading a little bit. So we can't afford to do that as teachers. We don't make that much money to be giving our students $20 for every book they read. So for me, it was the types of books. Books didn't really grab my attention. I was ADHD. I was all over the place, and music was my passion. I mentioned the keynote. I liked Encyclopedia Brown. I also liked Choose Your Own Adventures books because you could physically take them in your hands and you could actually, you had to move around. And so with that in mind, I thought, I'm going to create books that I think would hit the kind of reader that I was, or the non-reader that I was. So I wanted books that were glossy, high graphics. I wanted to make sure that they had all races represented, so they're very diverse that way as well too. But I wanted them to be active. So you could actually read the book if you wanted to, or you could swipe a code and you could read along with Etienne as he raps, or DJ Delph as he raps. So you have somebody reading with you, but then they're filled with activities and exercises. Mm-hmm. So the actual book themselves, and here I'll just show you an example. Let me get one. So it's one of my favorites to show, if it's actually here. Here it is. So you have a book like this, and it's just this glossy book, right? You can read all the pages, but it actually works as a teacher guide as well. You, as the teacher, can go along the journey to proficiency with it. The game, it becomes a game board, a springboard, and you get games like this one here. I'll just show this to the camera, where you can play with pennies and dimes and nickels, quarters, and there's a lot of, so this literally becomes a game board, so the students are working around it, or it actually becomes, I'll show you another page that I like. A lot of these have built-in sketches or skits with interchangeable vocabulary. So now I have a book and you have a book, and we can actually practice a skit together, but with interchangeable vocabulary. Mm-hmm. So every time we do this, it's completely different. So say if we're ordering items as we're shopping, we'll be shopping different things. I'll be selling different things to you. You'll be buying different things from me to practice authentic, spontaneous French. And so that was kind of the idea, was to get really engaged.
Yeah, and those readers, as you showed during the keynote, they have plenty of activities to build games upon and ideas to expand upon the vocabulary outside of what you would necessarily just do, if you're making up your own curriculum or using a textbook.
And I want to emphasize, too, the point that I said earlier about, like, it's almost like a teacher guide. We as teachers, we have enough on our plates. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to create readers where you are going down that road with them. Mm-hmm. And they know as they turn from page 36 to 37, 38, all that information is there. So you don't have to lesson plan. It's just all done for you because we have enough stuff on our plates.
So. Yeah. And I think that was kind of, you answered that question we had about what exactly is the IC reader and how's that different than a regular book, and that it is more, you know, there are more visuals, there are more, you know, interactive activities. There's things that students like looking at, just like my own kids that are in sixth and eighth grade. They like, you know, graphic novel type things. Yes. Kids these days, they don't want to read something that just has text in it, right?
No, absolutely. And the diversity I mentioned is important too. I want everybody to see themselves in the books, and they do. The actual term interactive comprehensive reader, I didn't come up with until I was in the 27th book, I think, writing, when it just hit me that that's exactly what these are. They're interactive comprehensive readers. And I've been talking to some teachers who are really into CI. Mm-hmm. Right? And this is IC. But actually, it goes together. Because a lot of the CI methodology, of course, is that making sure there's this pre and during and post things that go with reading. Mm-hmm. And also the idea of chunking and that scaffolded journey and making sure that the reading is supporting in a scaffolded way. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what these interactive readers do as well. So it's a lot of the CI teachers that we're here looking at it going, this is awesome. So
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm glad that fits people's needs in terms of teaching world languages these days and where a lot of teachers in Colorado are going. So we'll talk a little bit about the things that IC readers springboard students into you talk about a little, you've showed me a little bit in the keynote about the conjugation of verbs, and also just using different grammar, using fashion, food, maybe food vocab, but also clothing vocab.
There's a lot that springboards from it. So I'm just trying to go here. So one thing I did forget to mention, though, is that, and I always forget to mention this when I'm sharing these with people, is that they all rhyme. Mm-hmm. All these books rhyme. And there's something really, really powerful about that as far as getting students' attention. It's good for pronunciation for us as language teachers as well. So one springboard is that the students can actually rap along to the books or do different of their own rap projects and things like that, which is kind of cool. So I showed you one of the game boards that were there. And just in that game board alone, you can do tic-tac-toe, battleship, checkers, chess, just like so many things from just that one game board. But the one of my favorite things that I love to do, and let me tell you this, you have used these in the classrooms, but I've also tested these. And I went into one classroom that had 25 students, and I handed them each five different readers. So there's five students with five readers. Mm-hmm. And I tried some of these springboard things to see if they would actually work. Mm-hmm. And I actually tested to see if they actually would engage students. And what I did was I said, okay, turn to page 2, which is where they can swipe a QR code and they can start listening to ATN rapping. Okay. So these were actually DJ Delph ones. So DJ Delph was rapping. And they had, so there's 25 kids. And I said, all right, swipe your code, get ready. Press play at the same time, and I want you to read along. And so there was 25 cell phones that were going off, and I wanted to see if they were engaging enough that they could not listen to the distraction that was around them and actually keep up, and it was incredible. It was unreal. I'm like, okay, we're definitely on to something here. With that same class, I did this. So I was saying in the keynote, there's a lot of activities you could do with any book that has page numbers. Mm-hmm. In order for language teachers to practice numbers with their students, they can say, all right, you know, let's have a race. Everybody has their book, get ready to open it. All right, turn to page 10 plus 25. And so, but you're doing this in your target language, obviously. So, and then they get to 35. So they're quickly going to 35. And whoever finds it first, then you say, okay, what do you see on page 35? And you start talking about page 35. Mm-hmm. So, but you need to picture this, a class with 30 students, and they're all like quickly, first person to get to page 35. We're making them delve into the reader. It becomes like a Narnia porthole, if I may, of learning. And I was saying, there's so many things you can do. You can say, all right, look through the book, find something that you could use in a kitchen. Mm-hmm. And then like, boom, like just with that. It's like, it's endless, the type of springboards. And then I've attached these books to our online platforms because mm-hmm. teachers don't have time to waste. Mm-hmm. I don't want teachers to have to do another lesson if they don't ever want to make another lesson plan again. So you swipe the code and you get full access to the, if you get a box set, you get full access to the online platform where you can download instantly and share with your students hundreds of videos, PDFs, music files, and things like that that go along with it. So full support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the piece, so, you know, who can get to this page fastest,
yes.
or, you know, finding a theme for them to look for. They're always, you know, they want to be the first, right?
And I'm doing this with high school students.
Yeah.
This isn't middle school. This is high school students who are sometimes, you know, too cool for the air they breathe. Do you know what I mean? Like, so, and I recognize that. But I recognize that there's a kid in all of us as well. And so we like to have fun and play. But the funny thing is they're going through, okay, like, okay, where's this one? Okay, like one like this one here. Tener against versus Aitre. So the whole premise of this is they pick this book up and I'll be the same in Spanish. So tener and estar. They're going to read the book, but they're reading it under the premise that they're trying to vote on what is the best verb ever created in French. Is it avoir or is it Aitre? Is it tener? Is it estar? So for your non-readers, they're going to go, oh, is that why we're doing this? All right, okay. Well, all right. So I'll do these activities because we're going to vote at the end, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, you're going to vote at the end. So here's the vote at the end. And they swipe the code and they join a universal vote for what is the greatest verb ever. And and these are sponsored by celebrities because Justin Bieber is telling you to vote for avoir, and Shakespeare is telling you to vote for être, to be or not to be. And for me, if you would have tricked me as a kid, that would have worked with me. Because I'd have been, all right, so we're voting after? All right, let's do this. You know. And then I find out that, wait a minute, it's not just a book. Mm-hmm. It's like a rap song. And then there's games and activities. And it's I'm in. This is cool. So, yeah.
Yeah, anything to win. And, you know, swiping that QR code and doing, you know, some type of contest with kids around the world. That's what they love doing.
Yeah.
So you're here for the CCFLT conference in Colorado. So is this your first time speaking or performing in Colorado?
No. I know. I remember being here for ACFL years back.
I think that was in 2011.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, or 2013. Does anybody remember? It was one of those 2 years I went for it. Yeah.
I'm not sure. Yeah. maybe even an AHCF one, actually. Mm-hmm. I don't know if ever AHCF has been here, maybe in the 90s or in the, yes, I said 90s. Okay. or the year 2000s. But yeah, so a couple times before, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I love Denver, so this is kind of cool. Mm-hmm.
So you like speaking here. What do you see maybe as different? In working with Colorado teachers in terms of just our passion for languages.
Okay. You know what? It's not just languages across the board, okay? I'm going to tell you something. Denver is a place to go for talking about learning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And maybe you guys don't realize this because, well, you're here. But I've worked in many different capacities as a program coordinator. So I've worked at board level. I've worked as a literacy coach, instructional coach, and things like that. And so I've been into a lot of different methodologies and a lot of subject areas. And it's uncanny how many conferences go on mm-hmm. in education yeah. here. And so I just think there is a energy in this area, and this is kind of like where you go. So to be able to be asked to do a keynote here is like super honor. So. Yes.
Well, I'm so glad that we had you come. I'd like to open it up for questions from the audience. And at audience request, we're just going to keep the camera on us. But hopefully you all can hear those who are tuning into the episode, some of the audience's questions.
I wanted to open this up. If you have not seen this yet, if you want to come up and just grab one and go back to your space, you can too, because that might elicit a question or two as well. I know we can't give you one. I can't get it in there. Sorry. So, but yeah.
I've really tried to not fight the things I can't control. So with COVID and everything, have seen some benefits in how we had to adjust when it was kind of out of our control.
Yes. Actually, I'd love to address that because that's cool. I love that perspective. because there are things we definitely learned the last 2 years as educators. First of all, I love how everybody from the public to board administration to our students just assumed we'd be able to right the ship and to keep things going. And guess what? We did. We did. So, I mean, hello. And from that, we learned a lot of things. Even as language teachers, we learned that, you know, even online, there's some things that we can do. And I learned things that I did online that I'm now bringing back into my classroom and vice versa. So as a French teacher using the DJ Delph kit, I learned that, oh my God, the DJ Delph kit works perfectly online. Mm-hmm. Like, so that was something I never needed to know before, because you might be surprised, but I wasn't here during the last pandemic. So I did, and then the internet wasn't either, so that's okay. So I like exactly what you're saying. And if I may, when this book came out, it was May 2020. So it was during the pandemic. And it was amazing. So I thank everybody out there, because this was literally number one for over a year in 9 different categories. People were eating this up. And I was like, it's funny because I told the publishing company, should we wait till the pandemic's over? This was in May. We didn't know, but still ongoing later on, right? So what turned out, the reason apparently people were liking it was because the ideas were completely adaptable to online. And so people were going, hey, there's this great online teaching book called Rock Your Class that you can use or whatever. And I too was using the same strategies. When I saw that this pandemic might not be over for a little while, so starting out a year ago, I started to make these. And what I did was I adapted the principles from this book and made it even more concrete into these little books, including the swiping of QR codes, like you said. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people go, oh, I like this book because you talk about an idea and then you have a QR code and you swipe it and the lesson plan falls in our lap. I'm not a reader, I told you that. Mm-hmm. I kind of assumed that all books did that. So, so I was like, okay, cool. I'll make sure that these ones definitely do that, because talk about changes. Over the last probably 8 years, at first it was just high school students who had cell phones.
Yeah.
Then it was creeping into grade 8-ish, 7, then the grade 6s. And I mean, how many here have students who have 2 phones on them sometimes? Yeah, I've done that. I'm going, all right, it's the third time I've asked you to put the phone away. You take it from them, you turn around, and they take out their other one. And you're like, and they're like, what? You didn't say I couldn't use this one. So, I mean, things have really changed. We have to change with the times. But kudos to us as teachers. Are there some other positive things that you felt you came out of?
I feel like I've kind of done the whole gamut from preschool through adults and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like one of the big things, especially in high school, we didn't necessarily realize that we had maybe too much we were trying to covered.
Yeah.
Ooh. Slimming down to some key concepts.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get back to the episode.
This is all the extra. Mm-hmm. My mini lessons would be throwing in something once, like numbers that you mentioned. So we'd do that once every 3 weeks with numbers, and we think that was enough. It was just overload on the other main topic.
I love that. So in case you didn't pick this up on the camera, what this amazing gentleman just said is that one thing we learned was that it's okay to slow down. Yeah. Can I paraphrase it that way? And I just finished the long range plans for the DJ Delph kit that goes with the readers and stuff like that. And I put it in the very first page. It is okay to slow down. Your plan might've been, oh, we're going to do activity 7 and 8 today. But maybe the bell work that you do, the sujet du jour, or the subject of the day, or whatever you're doing that day, it's still going on 10, 20 minutes now. And you're going, oh, I thought this was only going to be 5 minutes long. It's okay. If they're talking in the target language for 20 minutes and they're still on track, don't stop them and go, excuse me, I had a plan here. Right? We learned that the road to proficiency is that. It's a road. And sometimes you might take longer, but that's okay, because you're just enjoying the view on the way to the destination. So, love that. Anybody else have a question? How about this? I want to know, because we just finished 2.5 hour classes. So that was our answer to COVID, was we had two classes a day and they're each 2.5 hours long. Mm-hmm. Did you do any of that in your, yes, you did?
We converted to 4x4 where they took one class intensively the first semester and it was over the flip-flops, so that sort of thing.
Okay. There's been so many different models across the board. You know, you see all the teachers who go to Facebook teacher groups or whatever to get advice, and mm-hmm. it was sometimes hard to find somebody who had a matching schedule to yours. Another thing that I learned, okay? If I can, and it's going to sound like a plug. I mean, this is a plug, but when COVID, before COVID started, our band knew was on a U.S. tour. So we were doing French concerts all over. We were in Cleveland, Chicago, Rochester, just all over the place. Then COVID hit and we had to go back home, okay, to Canada. So that was like, oh, I was like, oh man, you know, all this momentum, all this great stuff was happening. But then as soon as I got back home, I was getting messages from school districts saying, can you do online shows? And fortunately I had experience in that. 5 years ago, I did a series of online shows. And so I was like, yeah, I definitely can. So that's what we ended up doing. We switched to online. And then again, so this is an idea of adaptability. Because first of all, the idea was we need to stay connected. Mm-hmm. I worked with School Rubric. That's a like a nonprofit thing. And I was hosting Kahoots once a week. And we would have thousands of students from all over the world doing Kahoots, which was great in every subject area. It was fantastic. But then there were still Wi-Fi issues, though. So we're all learning, right? There's still Wi-Fi issues with this online concert thing. And it's hard to get a perfect sound out of that and make sure that everybody's household is hearing the same thing. So we actually adapted and we still do these. They're called offline concerts. So that's where a school will reach out to us and they fill out a little fast food menu. They say what songs they want ATN or DJ Delph or a band new to perform, what questions they want to ask because it's a concert interview. And what shout-outs they want. And the shout-outs are the best part, Dana. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. So what happens is we get the list of the songs, the list of the questions, the list of the shout-outs. And Josh, shout-out to Josh, is our lead film producer. And we film your concert. Mm-hmm. And then the shout-outs, again, are the best part. Because they ask us to say things like, ask Ahmed if he's wearing red socks again today. So I'm like, I have no idea why I'm saying this, but I'm like, yo, Ahmed. Seriously, man, are you wearing Red Sox again today? So that means nothing to me. It means everything to them. And what are we doing? We're building community. And it was the biggest thing out of these concerts is that, so then we send you a link on YouTube and you share it with your students. You can watch as many times as you want. Administration, but the school community. Mm-hmm. And the feedback we were getting or still get from parents is unreal. And it was showing that, hey, these language teachers, because we do it in Spanish. Well, I do it with math ones as well, but say the French and Spanish teachers, they're going, wow, these French and Spanish teachers, they got their stuff together. This is super cool. Like, despite COVID, look at all the learning that's going on. Look how excited students are about learning languages. We should corral these language teachers. They may have a cure for COVID if we just listen. So we learned to adapt and do things. It was powerful. We deserve credit. We do as teachers.
I don't think we ever expected to first have online Spanish on mute was always a challenge for the class, but then also half in class, half online at all times. It might have broken some people, but I actually think it created a lot of different perspectives as well.
Yeah, it did. It created, yeah. So, yeah, you're right. It, all these challenges created different perspectives for sure. I'm going to say I didn't have that experience. I wasn't asked to teach where I was in a classroom and yet still talking to a big camcorder or whatever. So I'm kind of glad. But if you said it worked out pretty good.
Not to the beginning.
That's good. Yeah. And that's where we are. Like, there was some teachers I was talking to here at the conference. And one of them was a brand new teacher. And I said to her that when I started teaching, we didn't have photocopiers. And she looked at me like, what are you talking about? She's like, what did you use? And
the ditto machine.
Thank
right?
you. Yeah. High five, air high five. Okay. It's an acetate machine. So what happens is you crank this and it makes this purple colored sheets that smell amazing. And it makes it really, really hot and warm. So as you're carrying it back to your classroom, you hold them like this. No, people, you need to look up archives about these acetate machines. But anyways, so we did not have photocopier in my first year teaching. Okay, so there's been a lot of changes and things that I know I've had to adapt to over the years, but we always do that. Just even like cassette tapes to CDs to streaming to, you know, the changes. One of the principal reasons I went into teaching was because I wanted to, okay, very few people can understand this, but I wanted to show a movie backwards. When I was a student, our movies were on projector reels. They were these little circular things. Just look it up. Anyways, and we always would bug the teacher, play it backwards. You could take the reels, switch them, and it would play the film backwards. And you might have a hard time believing this, but I was a class clown when I was in school. And I never wanted to be a teacher. I actually swore to God that I would never become a teacher. FYI, God has a funny sense of humor. But anyways, so I thought, you know what? If I'm going to be made to be a teacher, I am definitely going to show a film backwards. I'm going to do what my teachers refused to do. Very first year teaching, all the projector reels were confiscated, brought to the board office, and they were being put onto these new fandangle things called VHS tapes. I was so disappointed. How do we get on this?
I think it was just rolling with the punches in education. And when I first started teaching in Colorado, I don't know if anybody had a laser discs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The curriculum I was using was using laser discs. You had to have a laser disc player. It was like a record size. basically a DVD that was record size. So. Yeah. Do we have any other questions from the audience?
Can you talk a little bit more about social emotional learning?
Oh my God.
And how you see calming, heating.
Yeah. Thank you. So the question was about social emotional learning. So I have 5 social emotional learning books, so SEL books. Yeah, I made a series of them. And I embedded SEL in all my readers, even the French and Spanish ones. And the reason was seeing how many kids were struggling with mental health issues, basically. And SEL is a popular tag that's used in some districts, ignored in others. I know that. But if we can embed things like decision-making, organization, getting kids to consider their power they have over their decisions, then I think it's important to embed it in what we do in all subject areas. Mm-hmm. And so I made sure to do that. I'll just give an example. So when you go to a reader, you'll see on page 3, there's a list of all the SEL principles that are there. My last comment about SEL is it's something that teachers always did, I believe, which is support their students' mental health. It's just something that we've become more aware of. And it seems to be an evolution of us as a society. I'm going to say this is controversial, what I'm about to say, but it's the downloading of parenting, church, and community involvement. That doesn't happen anymore. And I find the teachers now, it's our job to be the parent, the spiritual leader, the community leader, the whatever, you know what I mean? So I embedded in there so you don't have to worry about it, you know, that you're covered. So what do you think next year is going to look like?
Everyone loves to say, I think one of the reasons why people have been going so kind of stir crazy is what was normal and how are we're kind of a little obsessed with going back to normal. What I think
So, yeah.
Acceptable. It's kind of what my brain has to do.
That's a great question. What will normal be? Normal can't be what it used to be. So.
We want everything back exactly the way it was before.
Maybe not. Shout out to the school cafeteria staff. I do want them back. Some
things you don't want back.
Yeah, what are things that we don't want back? Let's open this up. Things that we don't want back.
70-page packets.
Yeah. No more idea of survival mode. Yeah. Yeah, let's just get back on the road to proficiency. Mm-hmm. That's a great question. It's, wow. No, it's just, it's a lot of things have gone away. And I know in our school district, we might be losing football. We've lost swimming already. We might lose football. And partly it's because of COVID. So COVID's made some school districts, not mine, but realize that there are certain programs that we don't need or things we don't need anymore. Some things won't come back. That's why I said I want the school cafeteria people back. Because we are managing to have kids eat their lunch with no more school, but we're forgetting the kids who aren't eating. So that's sad. Whereas our school cafeteria people would look after those kids. So yeah, I don't know.
Well, I think in Colorado, one thing a lot of people have said, especially as world language teachers, you know, and it's not going away. We'd like it to go away, but that focus on state testing and the subjects that are tested and them not paying attention to us as world language teachers because our subject is not on the state test. So, like, one thing we wish could go away was the emphasis on state testing and that, you know.
I'm trying to think, you know, there's definitely a message of how can we kind of recruit more interest from, have you been able to get into a lot of like elementaries or anything on just sparking a little interest of French, especially as it seems to be, it's fading out of our middle school. It's not, they're not even going to be prepped to go on to high school.
Yeah, I've been asked in my career to do a lot of that. So I've been asked to go to areas where I'll do concerts for just say grade 5-6 kids and they haven't even taken French yet.
Right.
So my job is to get them excited and it works. I wrote the sample Pourquoi Take French for that reason exactly. So a lot of teachers use that to help promote programs. And, yeah, for sure. Yeah, Pourquoi Take French. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
I can always ask, as a wrap up or somebody else has a question in a moment, but I always ask at the end of the podcast out of everything we talked about today, what's one thing you'd like listeners to remember?
That you are not alone. That I, for example, am absolutely here. I have 30 years experience, so I love to talk with people. So you can reach out to me at Rock Your Class on any platform. I talk to teachers all the time. So that's the number one thing I want you to know is you're not alone. I try to embed that with my resources, but I'm physically here too.
Well, thank you so much, Stephen, for being our keynote and being a repeat guest on the Out of the Trenches podcast today.
My pleasure.
Check out the show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it. And if this episode resonates, especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.